Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Matthew 3:17 says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This statement was made of the Lord Jesus, that is, to the Lord Jesus, when God said during his baptism that he was the beloved Son of God. He was the beloved Son of God. And in this life, I'm talking about the Christian life, you'll be torn between two angles to love. The first angle is God's love for you, and then the second one is your love for God. Now, it's important how we balance this love act, you know. Some people are very strong in their love for God. In other words, they focus more on their love for God. And they talk to people that they should love God, you know. But other people are focused on God's love for them. And then they tell people about God's love for them. Now, we have to understand which one comes first. Because the one which comes first is where your emphasis must be, you know. This is really not a chicken and hen situation. Or chicken and egg, rather, situation. It is a straightforward thing that the Bible declares that it is God who loved us first. And then out of his love for us, we reciprocate by loving him back. So very early in Jesus' life, God exposes him to the fact that he is his beloved Son. And if you study Jesus, you will see that he had a very strong consciousness of God's love for him. All throughout his life, he was very, very strong in the fact that God was his Father and actually his loving Father who was always with him. Hallelujah. Who had not deserted him. And that is the kind of posture we need to also have if we are to become the followers of Jesus that we must be. We must, just like Jesus, be very strong in the fact that we are the beloved Son of God. Now, when the devil came tempting Jesus in the very next chapter of Matthew chapter 4, the devil in his first temptation actually dropped the word beloved. So he said that if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Because the devil wanted Jesus to, as it were, forget about the fact that he was the beloved Son of God. So when Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God," he was talking about God's inspired word, a rhema, you know, that comes from the mouth of God. And the case in point, the context, was what God has said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, that he was the beloved Son of God. And the devil comes and says that if you are the Son of God, and Jesus says that every word of God that proceeds from his mouth, we shall live by it. So straightforward, in context, Jesus was saying that we must live in the consciousness of the fact that we are the beloved Son of God. There are many believers who believe they are the Son of God. But that is not enough. That is not the posture of Jesus. That's not how Jesus lived his life. He lived with the consciousness of the fact that he was the beloved Son of God. Because if you know that you are the beloved of God, there is actually no temptation that can floor you. Because you know that God loves you, God accepts you, and so you will not fall to any trap of the devil. Hallelujah. That is how come Jesus Christ lived by every word of God that came and so overcame the devil in his temptations towards him. Look at the book of John chapter 17. Let's strengthen the fact that Jesus had a certain disposition all throughout his life. I want you to see him as the beloved Son of God. I want you to see that he lived in the consciousness of the fact that he was the beloved Son of God. Even when the devil was trying to take his mind off it, the fact that God loved him. Jesus said, no, I have to live by the fact that God loves me. John chapter 17 and then verse 23. Jesus is now ending his life, you know, as it were. He is coming to the end of his life, I should say. In John chapter 17, verse 18, chapter 18, they took him. In fact, they went to crucify him from chapter 18. But in chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Hallelujah. Jesus says that he wants actually the world to know that God loves them just as God loves him. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot really speak to unbelievers that God loves them until we have this strong consciousness of the fact that God loved Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked in that consciousness of the Father's love for him. So he says that, look, I want you, God, to make my people, my apostles, my disciples, you know, my followers one. And so that the world will know that you love them just as you have loved me. So Jesus lived in the full consciousness of the fact that God loved him. Look at verse 26. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Hallelujah. So you can see from here that Jesus said two times that God loved him. Says that the love that you, God, had for me may be in them. You know, the same love with which you loved me. So Jesus was very much aware that God loved him. Hallelujah. So that is where our life posture must be, that God loves us. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at the apostles of Jesus, there were two of them, and they illustrate this, balance that we must have between your love for God and then God's love for you. Now, the person who illustrated his love for God was the apostle Peter. Peter was very strong in the fact that he loved God. He even dared the whole of the apostles when he said during, just before the passion of Jesus, that although all of these people are going to disobey you or are going to deny you, me, Peter, I will not deny you. He was very strong in the fact that although all these people may not love you, you can count on me. I love you. I will stick to you. You know. So that is Peter. Peter was very strong in the fact that God loved, or he loved God. But John, on the other hand, was very strong in the fact that God loved him. About two or three times in his gospel, he calls himself the apostle whom Jesus loved. He didn't say the apostle who loved God, but he said the apostles whom Jesus loved. He was very strong in the fact that Jesus loved him. But let's look at the end of these two people. Peter, who stood for somebody or the believer, you know, who loved God. And then John, who stood for the believer whom God loved. In the end, what happened? Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. But what happened to John? Let's look at the end of John. John was right at the foot of the cross. Right at the foot of the cross. For Jesus Christ to say to him, take care of Mary. He said, mother, behold your son. And to John, to behold his mother. You know. So John, the person who is very conscious of the fact that God loves him, is able to endure everything to the end. Because the love of God has got a very important role in our lives, just as it played in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at some of these roles that the love of God plays in our lives today. Let's turn to the book of 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 15. Or maybe I should point out to you in John chapter 20, that when Jesus Christ rose from death, he wanted to show Peter that he should be strong in God's love for him rather than his love for God. So in John chapter 21, Jesus Christ comes to Peter and then he asks Peter, Simon Peter, or Simon son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? The Greek word that Jesus Christ used, or that was used in this scripture, is the word agape, unconditional love. Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The Greek word translated, I love you, what Peter said, is not agape. He said, I don't love you unconditionally. I love you like a friend. The Greek word there is philia, out of which we have what? Friendship. So Jesus says to Peter, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter says to Jesus, I love you as a friend. And Jesus Christ says again to Peter, do you love me unconditionally? That's the same Greek word, agape. Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter replies for the second time, I love you as a friend, not unconditionally. And the third time, Jesus changed the thing and he asks Peter, do you love me? This time, he didn't use the word agape, he used the word philia. He asked Peter the third time, do you love me? Or if you like, the first time, do you love me as a friend? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know, Peter was, I don't know, that thing got too much to him. Because he has told you, I love you as a friend, two times. So why should you, Jesus Christ, ask him, do you love me as a friend again? That is why he felt like, oh, Jesus, you know all things. I've kept repeating that. I don't love you unconditionally. I love you as a friend, you know. And Jesus Christ said to him, that go and feed my sheep. You know, Jesus was trying to bring Peter's attention to the fact that it is not his love for God that should be primary in his life. It is God's love for him that should be the key in his life. Hallelujah. Why should you make God's love for you first priority in your life? Why was it first priority in the life of Jesus from his baptism right down to the end when he went to die? 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 15. The Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Please underline the love of the Father. Sometimes we think that this scripture said the love for the Father is not in him. He's not talking about love for the Father. He is talking about the love of the Father. The Father's love is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hallelujah. So the Bible is telling us why we should focus on God's love for us in our day-to-day life. The first reason is because it is a consciousness of the fact that God loves you that makes you move away from the world, that makes you dedicate yourself unto God. So he tells us, this is the same John who boasted or focused on the fact that God loved him. And he tells us that don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, that person is not conscious of the fact that God loves him. That is why he loves the world. Because if you grow in your consciousness of the fact that God loves you, you will not love the world. The world is going to pale in your sight. You will find yourself dedicating yourself all the more unto God. Hallelujah. If you struggle with your life, dedicating your life, consecrating your life to God, the solution is for you to focus on God's love for you. Because as you know, or you get aware of God's love for you, as you swim in the ocean of God's love for you, you will not love the world. John makes it very clear. that if you love the world, then the love of the Father, not the love for the Father, the love of the Father is not in you. God's love is the solution to moving away from the world. It's a solution to not yielding to sin, not yielding to the devil. Hallelujah. That's a very powerful one. And John, the Apostle John, is a classic example. The one who wrote the scripture is a classic example. He didn't love the world. He loved Jesus. He stuck to the foot of the cross. When all the apostles were running away, including the one who boasted in fact, verbally before Jesus and all of them, that, "Lord, although all these people are going to deny you, me, I will never deny you." You know, he denied. But the one who at that time was leaning on Jesus' breast, who was relying on God's love for him, he moved away from the world. He stood. He dedicated and consecrated his life unto God. He was the only person who heard Jesus say, "It is finished," of all the gospel writers. It is only John, because he was very close to Jesus. So when he said, "Tetelestai," you know, he heard it, that Jesus said, "It is finished." He was the only person who recorded it in his scripture.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let us focus on what? God's love for us, just as Jesus Christ focused on it. And he prayed it, that, "Lord, the way you love me, let the same thing, let the world know that you love them in the same way." Because to him, that is a solution to people moving away from the world, from the devil, and dedicating their lives unto God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Can we all say perfect love? You know, perfect love is God's love. God's love is perfect love. So this perfect love is talking about what? God's love for us. He loves us with perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. You know, it casts out fear so that what? We become bold in the presence of God. Look at the scripture again. Why is it that God's love, focusing on God's love, is important for our lives? Why is it important? It is important so that we will be bold believers. We will be bold believers. Anybody who knows that God loves him is a very bold person. Anybody who knows that the parents loves him or her becomes very bold. That's how it is. So look at it. Love has been perfected among us in this. In other words, love has been exhibited to us in this manner. What is the manner? The manner is that God has made us just like Jesus is now. The way that God has shown love to us is to make us just like Jesus. That as Jesus is in heaven, so are we on this earth. It is the love of God that has made him position us like that. That we are just like Jesus. So if Jesus is accepted in the heavenly kingdom, then we are also accepted right now on this earth. Hallelujah. If you believe that Jesus is the beloved Son of God, the Bible says that so are you in this world. You are also the beloved of God. It's wonderful. If Jesus, God will answer the prayers of Jesus, God will answer your prayers also. Because of what? Because as Jesus is in heaven right now, so are you in this world. The Bible says that this is the show of the love of God. This is the manifestation of the love of God, that as He is in heaven, so are we in this world. Isn't that powerful? It's one of the greatest blessings you can ever chance upon in the Bible. That just as Jesus is right now, so are you in this world. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, so are you the righteousness of God in this world. If Jesus Christ is loved by God, so are you loved in the same way right now in this world. Hallelujah. That's very powerful. Now, the question I want us to answer is, why has God shown us such a love? Why has He demonstrated love to us in this manner? The scripture contains the answer. It says, so that we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Wonderful. So that we have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. You know, I want us to understand the scripture this way. It isn't just in the end time that God is going to judge. Hallelujah. But as we go through life practically, you come to situations where God has to make a decision about you. You come to a situation where even humans have to make a decision about you. You come to a place of judgment. Every day of our lives, we come to places like that, where we ourselves are judging between what we should do or not do. Where God judges a situation in which you are. The Bible says that in the day of our judgment, we can be bold. We can be bold. Not just before the judgment throne of Christ at the end of the age, but right now, in any day of judgment in your life, you can be bold. You can have boldness that God loves you. So whatever thing that God permits to come your way, you know that it stems from His love for you. Hallelujah. Because of that, you become bold in the face of humans who are trying to judge you. You become bold in the face of circumstances that you have to decide on. In the day of judgment, in any day of judgment, whether you are the one judging, or God is the one judging, or human beings are the ones judging, once it is a day of judgment, it is a day of making a decision, you can be bold during that time. Hallelujah. You can be bold because you are conscious of the fact that God loves you and His love is going to embolden you to take the right decision. Because when you have fear, you will choose wrongly. When you have fear, you will judge wrongly. That is why the next scripture said that perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. Fear will put you in a certain position that you will not be able to judge properly between what you should do, you know, and what you should not do for a particular situation. Fear will make you choose wrongly. But when you know, you walk in a conscious sense of the fact that God loves you, your choices will be right. Hallelujah. Because of the love of God that constrains you, that motivates you. It is a solution, ladies and gentlemen, to all of our ailments. It is the love of God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. The scripture says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The Holy Spirit is telling us something. He says that, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Hallelujah. It is the goodness of God that should motivate you to repent. The goodness of God. That is how God does it now. In the Old Testament, it was different. In the Old Testament, you had to repent before you are shown goodness. In the Old Testament, you had to repent before you are blessed. In the New Testament, it's the opposite. You are blessed so that you will repent. You are blessed, or you are shown goodness, so that what? So that you will reciprocate it with the foundation of God's love, God's goodness, and God's forbearance. And that is the way that God demonstrated to the leader of the church in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We are very familiar with the story, because in the story, Peter goes out fishing and doesn't catch anything all night long. Now, Jesus Christ comes upon the scene, uses his boat, and afterwards tells Peter that launch out into the deep, let down your net for a catch. The Greek word that is translated deep is the word that can also be translated early. In other words, God was taking Peter to the very early time in the Garden of Eden. How he can have abundant supply. How he can live as a king that we were in the first kingdom era in the garden. Look at verse 8 now. Now, Peter got so much fish that when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What made Peter say, "Jesus, go away from me, I am sinful"? It is the goodness of Jesus that he showed to him, giving him plenty fishes. He looked at the plenty fishes and his eyes were full of tears. He said, "Jesus, I repent." In effect, that is what he was saying. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful person." He was in effect saying that, "Jesus, I repent." Because of what? The goodness of God. It lead us to repentance. Hallelujah. And that is what you need to understand. That is the kind of disposition you need to have. That God shows you goodness so that you repent. So if you see God's love being showered on you, he's telling you one simple message. Change your ways. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you can see good things happening to you. God blessing you, blessing your efforts, blessing your family, blessing your life, blessing your children, blessing. Does it mean that it is all well with you? It's not necessarily the case. Hallelujah. It could as well be that God is telling you, change, change, change your ways. Hallelujah. But if we don't understand this way of God, the way he is ministering to us now, in the New Testament, then you are going to get everything mixed up. Hallelujah. That is why the Holy Spirit said, "Are you despising the riches of his goodness and forbearance, not knowing that the goodness is rather telling you to repent?" Hallelujah. So God blesses you. He blesses your business. He gives you a new business. He is not saying that he likes the way that you are on necessarily. Maybe he is telling you, as he did to Apostle Peter, that you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to change. You need to grow. Hallelujah. Not stay where you are, but to grow away from it. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Luke chapter 7 whilst we are still in the book of Luke. Very powerful story. We find there a woman who loved Jesus Christ in a very dramatized, remarkable way. This is the woman who heard that Jesus was in a certain Pharisee's house. And he came to that place. She was a known sinner. She knew she was a sinner. She was a known sinner. But she brought to the Pharisee's house. This Pharisee was hosting Jesus to a meal, you know. So he comes to this Pharisee's house. And then she brings an alabaster bottle of fragrant oil. In other words, perfume. In the Middle East, they have that type of oil. It's perfume, but it's oil, you know. It's not like the one we spray and then it evaporates and all that. You know, it's fragrant oil. When I went to Dubai, somebody called me. This person had been there before, you know, was a diplomat. He called me and then he said, "I should get him fragrant oil," you know, because when he was once in Dubai, he got some there and he loves it. So I went around. I could see in almost all their perfume shops, you have these perfume oil. Some of you may have seen it. But she brings along one of this and then she cries behind Jesus, wets Jesus' feet with the tears, wipe it with the hair, you know. There's natural hair. It's not like it's awake. It's natural, you know. So as we're awake, you can do that and go and wash or something. But you see, when it's part of you, it's something else. She wipes it. She was always kissing Jesus' feet. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.